760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, all you early birds tweeting from your nests. How are you? I'm Josh Harris with a great co-host and team, Allison DeLule, Dave Savage, helping you find joy in the journey. And you're helping me find joy in the journey. And you know what the most important thing, Allison, in finding joy in our journey is?
Prayer.
Gosh, you're smart.
Yes, I am.
You are just the brightest bulb in the knife drawer, is that? I don't know. Okay. I tried. All right, well, let's say the prayer of St. Jerome. I'll just say the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, because Amen. It's his feast day.
Amen.
Thank you for that Latin Bible, St. Jerome. Okay. Oh, Lord, you have given us your word for a light to shine upon our path. Grant us so to meditate on that word and follow its teaching, that we may find it in the light that shines more and more, until the perfect day. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And now we're doing our quick rosary. No, I'm just kidding. So I had a good weekend, I will say that. Did you have a good weekend, Allison?
I did, but share. What was going on with yours?
Well, I did a stand-up comedy show. I actually did a couple. Dave was there.
Yep. Oh,
I
Dave.
I didn't know Dave was a... Well, I did. I heard Dave was a comic in his heyday. We should have... If we gave him a running start, he could have done a few minutes on stage, which would have been pretty
riveting. Absolutely. We could have done 20 minutes on, is it Hallelujah or Hallelujah? And the difference.
And that is just what they wanted, I can
right.
tell you. Yeah, it was fun. I teach a stand-up comedy class, right? So it's 6 weeks, and at the end, these kids do it's a graduation show at a packed, and this one wasn't packed, but the one before was packed. There was still fun turnout. A comedy club full of friends and family.
Nice.
And you know, one of the coolest things I will say, compliments I've ever gotten from a student, was there was a student who took my class this go round. He actually is a host on this. Well, he does some stuff mm-hmm. for the station mm-hmm. for Honest to God.
Honest to God.
And he told me something. I don't think he would mind me saying this on the air, but he said, "Look, I was on the fence about taking your stand up class, and then I saw on your website that you do pro-life comedy, like you've done fundraisers for
yeah.
pro-life, and that's what actually flipped the switch and made
well,
me decide
praise
to
God.
Do it."
Wow.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. I think I've probably lost a few fans as well because of that, but it's good to see it actually bear.
It's worth it.
100% worth it. One life is, you leave the 99 to just find one. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? It's totally worth it. So very grateful for that, and I'm just prepping for the October 16th comedy class with a new batch of kids. So anyway, how about you? What you got going on?
Busy weekend, you know, good time bonding with the children. Had a great Sunday. Mass was beautiful. We go to 7:30 a.m. Mass, which was nice. And then I teach a sixth grade class for Sunday school on Sundays. And so I enjoyed that a lot. We was teaching first graders before. Sixth graders are a completely different caliber, you know, but with my kids being older, it's interesting, you know, but have good conversations, trying to bring joy in the journey in their days too.
Yeah.
But no, it was nice. And then my oldest Mary, she started her flag football yesterday.
Wow.
It's actually with a NFL flag football league.
Did they steroid test?
Did they what?
Steroid test.
No. Gosh, they should, right?
We need to really enforce that anyway.
So, so that was interesting time. So just getting into the swing of things, and Yusuf did not have soccer, so just relax a little bit.
That's good.
And one thing I want to bring up is, I mean, we were thankful that we were able to relax this weekend. A lot of people weren't relaxed.
I know.
I want to say, you know, we're praying for Father Mark White,
mm-hmm.
And he's out there in Washington,
Georgia,
and which is right by Augusta, which I guess just got devastated, and the mm-hmm. people in North Carolina too.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I teach this stand-up class, right? And one of my students has been driving 3 hours from Bartow County to attend the class. And he calls me the day of, like within hours, he said, "Hey, man, I can't make it to the graduation show
We got absolutely wrecked by this hurricane. Wow. Tornadoes came through in the middle of the night. Roofs are missing on houses.
Oh my goodness.
Sides were pulled off. We have no electricity, no gas, no grocery. I had to drive 30 miles or 30 minutes outside of my town just to make this cell phone call. So please keep those people in your prayers. And I think they're Catholic charities you can support to assist in these efforts of rebuilding and serving these people who need it so badly.
Yeah, just Google Catholic charities.
Wonderful. Well, we have a great show coming up today. We have Kathy McCormick. She is going to be coming on and talking about yesterday's gospel reading. That was an amazing gospel. So I want to kind of dive into that more. Chuck's going to be with us talking about Saint Jerome. Yesterday is his feast day, so what a good time that's going to be. Monday memes with Dave. Father Mark White is going to be talking about why should we attend Sunday Mass. So that's going to be a great, great conversation. And then coming up, we are going to be hearing from Dave Meckler. He is a parishioner at St. Brendan's Navigator in Cumming, Georgia, talking about their Shroud of Turn exhibit. Dave Meckler, the Shroud Exhibit Committee Chairman, and he will be talking about the Shroud of Turin, a story of hope. This museum-quality exhibit tells the complete story of the resurrection and ascension of Christ, and I'm thrilled to have him here this morning. So, Dave, welcome to The Quest.
Thank you, Allison. Appreciate the time.
You know, I've been to St. Brendan's many times. I noticed the wonderful Shroud of Turin, a story of hope exhibit, and I am not sure how many people are aware of that. It's like a little pilgrimage location here locally. And one thing I did read about, it's about hope. The exhibit provides a new understanding of how the resurrection of Jesus Christ can provide all true believers with the promise of life after death and hope for eternal happiness. So, hello, it doesn't get better than that.
No, that's exactly right. And, it's interesting because that is the theme of our parish, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
One of the things that we like to point out on our tours is the road to Emmaus, which, that story, the disciples are despondent, and Jesus comes and talks, and they go from despondent despair to joy, overwhelming joy. And that's what we want to do with our exhibit and as part of our parish mission. So the shroud actually tells the story of the resurrection, and we provide evidence of that and ask that you form your own conclusion.
So, Dave, tell us a little bit about yourself.
We went to the Holy Land with Father Matthew. My wife and I married later, so we've been 28 years.
Oh, that's wonderful.
We've just tried to stay involved with the church as much as possible, and when the exhibit came into a possibility, we jumped right on that. So it's been a very exciting journey.
So can you give us a few highlights about the exhibit?
Yeah, sure. We went on a pilgrimage in 2019 with our pastor, Father Matthew, to the Holy Land, and we saw an exhibit in Jerusalem that was a coordinated effort by a group called Othonia. And we just fell in love with everything they had, and we came back to St. Brendan and formed a committee to see if we could put our own exhibit together, which we did. We got the certified replica cloth from the Archbishop of Turin, and there's not many of them around. There's several exhibits around the U.S. and the world, many of them, in fact, but not all of them have a certified cloth. Some of them have backlits, and, you can buy things on the Internet which are not really certified. So we have that. We have 19 storyboards which tell the story of the Passion, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. We have an amazing life-size sculpture that was created by a world-renowned artist out of Italy. And he actually took the scientific data. He didn't, but two universities in Italy took the scientific data from the cloth, and he replicated that data into his sculpture. So we know that that's an exact replica of what's on the cloth. We also have, the backlit LCDs. We have recently put in a model of the tomb at resurrection with Mary Magdalene reaching out to Jesus. That's also part of the exhibit. And we have a resurrection chapel, which allows us to actually go into and experience a little piece of heaven through some of the icons and stained glass windows that we have in the chapel. So it's a full story of the resurrection. And we ask that the visitors draw their own conclusions. We provide a body of evidence like a detective story.
Mm-hmm.
And we provide evidence of all the above, specifically the resurrection, which we talk a great deal about. But we don't try to, promote any of our own views. We simply ask that they weigh the body of evidence and draw their own conclusions. And it's just amazing to see some people that have come in as skeptics and leave as believers. It's just, that's why we do this.
That is beautiful. We're talking with Dave Meckler, the Shroud Exhibit Committee Chairman at St. Brendan's now this morning. If people want to come and see the exhibit, what do they have to do?
Well, it's pretty simple. The exhibit's open all the time. If the church is open, the exhibit's open. There's no charge. There's three rooms, or actually two rooms and a hallway as part of the main exhibit. There is one room that could be booked with meetings, so it's best to call the parish office to make sure that the room's available. And to get the full experience, you want all three of the parts of the main exhibit and the chapel. We have adoration in the chapel often, so it's best to call the parish to make sure that it's open. It is self-guided. Had so far this year in 2023 over 1,500 visitors. About a third have been self-guided. About a third have been guided tours. If you want a guided tour, five, six more people, call the office. They can schedule. We have six trained tour guides. All of them are excellent. They were all on the pilgrimage together, so it's just a wonderful experience if you can get a tour guide to lead you through it. But other than that, it's open all the time.
Oh, that's wonderful. And then knowing that they were all on that same pilgrimage, so you guys all came together and your passion is sharing this with others, you know, the Shroud and the story of hope.
That's exactly right. We try our best.
I can tell you all are doing a great job. Any specific person that came that just really impressed you the most with their faith, how it just came alive after experiencing it? Do you have any one example that you want to share with us?
Well, there was a gentleman that was on a tour of a large group recently, and he came in and basically said, you know, I'm a Christian. I believe all this stuff, but I think this Shroud thing is a big fake, but I'm here because my wife wanted to see this thing. So we go through and there was a fairly large group, so we go through the, you know, the tour and give everybody the overview and allow them to kind of read their own at their own pace. And I noticed the fellow at the end was standing in front of our sculpture in the Shroud room, explaining some things to a group. And I noticed he looked like he was almost in tears.
Wow!
And after he had left, the group leader approached me and said, you know, this guy was a big skeptic. And right before he walked out the door, he looked at me almost in tears again and said, I totally believe that is the cloth, burial cloth of Jesus.
Oh, praise God.
So,
wow.
So those things like that happen all the time. With all of our tour guides have similar stories. You know, people that grow their faith, they lost their faith, they get it back. You know, just stories are almost endless, and our pastor has them, our tour guides has those stories, so it's just very rewarding to hear all those things.
Oh, that is so beautiful, Dave. Now, where can we get more information about the Shroud of Turn exhibit if we wanted to get a group together or if we wanted to come to check it out there?
Well, the website has quite a bit of information on it. It's stbrendansatl.com/shroud, where you can go to the main website, you know, St. Brendan the Navigator in Cumming, Georgia, and it'll give you a lot of information on the phone number, the directions, and how to schedule, you know, tours and various things. And it gives you a little bit of an overview of what's on the exhibit. So, you know, I'd encourage people to check the website, and if they have any questions, you know, call the office, reach out to me. I think my email might even be on the website. You know, we're more than happy to accommodate. I've had a group tour of as little as one, and we've had them as much as 80 people.
Wow.
So we can accommodate pretty much anything that anybody wants.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Dave, for taking time out of your day to talk to us about the Shroud of Turin, the story of hope at St. Brendan's. And we look forward to seeing you there and going on a tour. Have a great day.
Thank you, Al. Thank you very much.
McCormick, Richner at St. Thomas Aquinas in Alpharetta, here with us to dive into the Word. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. Yesterday's reading was from Mark chapter 9, 38 through 43, verse 45, and verses 47 through 48. There's a lot of jumping around in that chapter, but here we go. At the time, John said to Jesus, Teacher, We saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow us. Jesus replied, Do not prevent him. There is no one who performs a mighty deed in my name who can at the same time speak ill of me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Anyone who gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, amen, I say to you, will surely not lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than with two hands to go into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life crippled than with two feet to be thrown into Gehenna. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into Gehenna, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So does anything jump out at you from this scripture?
It's a good bedtime story to read to the kiddos.
Yeah, it does take a turn, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Halfway through.
At least they've gotten some trouble. You can just, you know, it's a good one to lock down on. I think for me that is particularly poignant is, surprisingly, is like the inclusivity in Christ's mission. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see these disciples saying, you know, Master, look, this guy is casting out demons in your name. And but he's not really with us. Yeah. And so that great line, whoever's not, you know, against us is for us. And I think that the importance that the church places on this, too, you can find it in documents like Lumen Gentium 16. You know, the Catholic Church really has a tradition in recognizing the good done about people of goodwill, you know, all people of goodwill, right? Even those outside the visible boundaries of the church, realizing that any act of charity really stems from the grace of God, from our Lord and Savior.
Yeah, I think that's interesting that, again, the apostles are just, they just don't get it. Mm-hmm. You know, the Lord, they're trying to prevent someone from doing something good in the name of Jesus. So, yeah, it's an interesting thing. Let's read it one more time and see if anything else jumps out at us. At that time, John said to Jesus, Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow us. Jesus replied to him, Do not prevent him. There is no one who performs a mighty deed in my name who can at the same time speak ill of me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, amen, I say to you, will surely not lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into the life maimed than with two hands to go into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life crippled than with two feet to be thrown into Gehenna. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into Gehenna, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So that first part, you know, we talked a little earlier about, you know, whoever's for us, you know, cannot be against us. But then we turn into this time of really intense teaching on sin,
mm-hmm.
to the point of cutting it off and cutting it out. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, with me, you know, when I hear that a millstone be put around your neck, if you lead somebody, you know, into sin, sin is deadly. And I just think of our conscience being formed. And again, the reconciliation, if we're struggling with a sin, we need to go and free ourselves from it.
True. I think the Lord really wants us to look at what we're doing and recognizing how it just poisons our life. Sin poisons us. And if you think about, you know, people in situations where they're maybe they have to have their foot cut off or their leg cut off because there is some kind of disease in it that is poisoning the rest of their body, and it's better that it's cut off. Mm-hmm. Take that into a spiritual realm and say, okay, what is it that I'm doing sin-wise that is just poisoning me and keeping me from the Lord? I need to cut it out. And I mean, it can be something as easy as scrolling through social media, mm-hmm. which is a time suck and just a ridiculous thing to do, mm-hmm. which puts junk in your head and takes your focus away from the Lord. Something as simple as that, I need to cut that out. You know, those kind of habits that we get into. The Lord has taken a strong stand here. And it reminds me of when the adulterous woman was about to be stoned, and they, you know, he says, who's without sin, cast the first stone, and they all start walking away, and then she's there. And basically what he says is, go and sin no more. And I think that's what we need to get to a place where we just keep cutting out whatever it is that's keeping us from the Lord.
Well, and something else too, in the past, I was walking through a trail, and I remember after a big storm, this huge tree fell. Uh-huh. And I would continually walk through that trail. And over time, it just started to die, the actual tree, because it wasn't, you know, in the ground with the roots getting the nutrition it needs. And it really hit me like, wow, when we are not close to God, when we're not in a state of grace, when we are not praying, how slowly we start to die. I mean, yeah. And that's exactly what I recognized in that tree. Yeah. So again, sins, small sins here and there can lead to larger and could starts to grow and deteriorate our soul.
Yeah. So for me, the takeaway then would be an examination of conscience. I need to examine my conscience before I walk into Mass on Sunday and really maybe hit confession.
Yeah. And you know what, Kathy, talking about examination of conscience, I am looking at the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. On their website, they have some amazing examination of conscience for the Ten Commandments based on our Catholic teachings, children, for young adults, single people, and married persons. So definitely go to that website. Great opportunity to be examining our conscience, even on a regular basis.
And with confession, if you don't have, if you can't make the confession time that's scheduled, make an appointment with your priest.
I'll close on St. Gregory the Great's words. We must carefully avoid, even with the greatest pain, whatever is opposed to our eternal salvation.
I'm Dave Savage. There was a fire at a chemical plant in Rockdale County over the weekend that caused evacuations and shelter-in-place orders. It caused traffic issues on I-20 and elsewhere. And we'll have a traffic report coming up in a few minutes, but I think all that I-20 stuff is pretty much cleared up by now. Hurricane Helene, Tropical Storm Helene, just devastating. Ryan Cole is an emergency official in the county where the mountain city of Asheville is located. He said, quote, we have biblical devastation. This is the most significant natural disaster that any one of us has ever seen, end quote. Over 100 people have died nationwide since the hurricane made landfall in Florida, and that figure is probably going to rise as officials are able to reach more areas. If you want to help, you can go to Catholic Charities to donate. Just Google Catholic Charities, and you'll be able to see where you can donate. And from Catholic Vote, Representative Bob Good, a Republican from Virginia, introduced a House resolution designating the week of November 11th as National Pregnancy Center Week. Senator Mike Lee, Republican from Utah, brought a companion resolution to the Senate. The move could, quote, recognize the vital role that community-supported pregnancy centers play in saving lives and serving women and men faced with difficult pregnancy decisions.
Praise God. Chuck Persner, America's most prolific saint scholar. It's on his card. Speaking of saints, he's actually submitted his own cause for canonization.
I tend to agree with all of that because I am lacking in humility and decency.
No,
and do not have a grasp of the truth either.
Not true at all.
Not
you
true.
Always bless us tremendously, and I can't wait to hear what you got for us today.
All right. Well, you know, as we mentioned on Friday, we do finish the month of September in strong fashion with regard to Saints. We celebrated St. Vincent de Paul on Friday and had a chance to talk about his life. The day before, we celebrated Saints Cosmas and Damian. Mm-hmm. Remember them?
The twins. Mm-hmm. The twins. Double trouble.
Yes, twins, doctors, martyrs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we say doctors, they were physicians in the true sense of the word. And, you know, when you talk about doctors of the church, we don't typically think of the type of doctor you go to for a checkup.
Yeah.
You know, so on this last day of September, you know, 30 days has September, mm-hmm. April, June, and November. Did you learn that the mm-hmm. rhyme when you were a kid, Josh?
30 Allison? Days in yep. September, April, June, and November. Yeah.
So we are really at the very end of September, and we go out with the celebration of a doctor of the church.
Wow.
We don't have many of those, only 37, and I'm talking about St. Jerome.
Mm-hmm. And you better be grateful if you like your Bible. Chuck's going to tell you why.
Yeah, you know, he undertook the very arduous but very important task of translating the first official text of sacred scripture from its original Hebrew, and he put it into Latin.
Wow.
So we do owe him a great debt of gratitude. And, you know, the Mystical Body of Christ, we've got all our members working together, because I got to tell you, that is not a job that I would stipulate to the water cooler when someone asks for a volunteer for that job. That is not my forte. That's a job that really requires a lot of attention to detail,
yeah.
organizational skills, things of that nature. But, you know, we were talking about this before going on the air. Allison, this was a grumpy man. Okay. Yeah. He was irascible, impetuous. Love these fancy words.
You know, keep them coming. Recalcitrant. But, I don't know if he was. What is he recalcitrant?
I take supplements for that. Yes, because you got to keep those bones strong.
Well, I mean, and also from what I understand, I mean, he's kind of known too for, I mean, he had some theological disputes, and he was not afraid to share his mind. I even heard him and St. Augustine got into some contention over, you know, I guess doctrinal things, from what I understand.
Imagine that, like doctor on doctor crime. Because, you know, St. Augustine, we talked about him just a few weeks ago, too. He was a doctor of the church mm-hmm. in his own right. So those are two of the most brilliant minds. How'd you like to be part of that conversation?
Wow.
Maybe in a pub over a beer, listening to these two guys go back and forth.
I know. Amazing.
But, you know, I know you have some quotes, Allison. His quotes have really become quite legendary. We all know them, whether we know it or not, that he spoke these words. But you have one for us now, I think.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I heard this before, and I had no clue it was St. Jerome. Ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ. So again, it just shows the importance of when you know the word of God, you know Christ. The face is the index of the mind, where he's talking about our expressions and appearance can reveal our inner thoughts and our emotions. So that's something as well that we should be aware of, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm.
And this is probably my favorite. Be ever engaged, he would often say to those, so that whenever the devil calls, he may find you occupied. Again, idle minds lead to idle stuff, right?
That is so true. Yeah.
Well, okay, so he obviously was putting his time to good use, because this guy was fluent, mastered Hebrew, Greek, and Latin.
Wow.
Very rare for that time. Okay. And this knowledge essentially allowed him to, I think, compare the veracity or authenticity of certain biblical texts and produce the most accurate Latin translation. Again, total rock star there. And, you know, studied in Rome, developed this passion for classical literature and rhetoric. Now, sometimes people don't talk, I think, as much about this guy's monastic life, right? I mean, you know all about that, Chuck. After this spiritual crisis of some sort, he adopts an ascetic lifestyle and spent several years as a hermit in the Syrian desert, where he just focused on studying scripture and learning Hebrew.
Wow. Sometimes you just got to get away from it all.
There you go. Want to get away?
I think he may have burned through all his friends.
Yeah.
You know, for the arguments and that, but yeah.
Except for Jesus.
That's a good thing, yeah. But it's true, you know, in the silence, it's so hard to get silence anymore these days, you know.
Yes.
We live in such a loud culture with phones buzzing and TVs constantly on in the background.
Yeah.
You know, we eat lunch at our desks. It's a terrible thing to do. And we just don't get any silence anymore and quiet. But you see the fruits of what can come from just getting some time away. I'm not sure I'd go into a cave, though. I'm not sure there are any caves around here. Are there? Are there any caves around here?
I don't know. I mean, there's some man. I know you've got a man cave, don't you, Chuck?
Not really? No.
Oh my gosh.
No, it's Well, it's, there's the Batcave.
There you go.
There's the Batcave. What else? But I'd be afraid to go into a cave. What if those stalactites and stalagmites start?
Yeah, that would be kind of intimidating. I don't know what creature would be lurking in there. But I think the blessing amidst all of that is that time set aside, he just dove into God's word, dove into, you know, just, I guess, getting fluent in all these different languages, really becoming an absolute scholar of scripture. So sometimes we can look at our lives and go, man, I just feel kind of emotionally destitute. I'm, you know, for whatever reason, my relationships might be on the fritz, or I might not be as connected with people as I want. But even in that season, God is doing something special if we lean on him. And I see that here, right? I mean, it seems like it was obviously of his own volition to step aside. But some people might argue, well, how much can you really accomplish completely hermited? And this guy changed the world. I mean, his interpretation of, you know, the Vulgate, essentially, his Latin translation, that was the staple within the church for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
Or a millennia. I think that's 1,000 years. Am I correct?
I believe so.
Yeah. So 1,000 years. This guy's hermitage absolutely, you know, radically transformed the trajectory of the church, especially in its interpretation or, you know, with sacred scripture.
Yeah. It flies in the face of everything that our society believes in now. Quiet time is viewed as wasted time now, you know, but that is not true. You know, we need that quiet time to reflect.
Absolutely. And he is the patron saint of librarians and archivists. So talking about quiet time.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Visit a library.
And he'd be the patron saint of archivists. So all you archivists out there today, please celebrate responsibly. This is your guy.
Yeah.
Of course, librarians, you know, it's we grew up with libraries. And I don't know. I hope kids have a chance to have libraries in their future. I mean, everybody seems to go to, I know I do this now. We go to our phones for information, but it is nice to go to a library once in a while and just get some quiet time.
Mm-hmm. Well, with that beautiful message, Chuck and Allison, I've got two closing remarks for us. One, St. Jerome.
Pray for us.
And number two,
we're doing Monday memes.
Yes.
And I thought I'd start off with this one because it's a quote from Andy Griffith. And for our younger audience members who may not know Sheriff Andy Taylor or Matlock, he's a North Carolina native, and he's passed away, I mean, several years now. But here's a quote from him that I think kind of sums up where we are today, recovering from this storm. He says, "I firmly believe that in every situation, no matter how difficult, God extends grace greater than the hardship and strength and peace of mind that can lead us to a place higher than where we were before." So I just thought that was appropriate, you know.
Yeah, like a modern day synthesis of Romans 8:28. God works all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And I didn't know that came from the Whistling Sheriff and the what year was that, the 50s?
That was in the 60s. I think it started in 1960.
Deep cut, Dave.
Sing it.
Boy.
Whistle. Do the whistle. Do the theme.
We'll pass on that.
Oh, wait, yeah, we might get sued for copyright.
So here's a meme. Salesman says, "Hey, this car seats 6 people without any problems." And the guy says, "I don't think I know 6 people without any problems." Which, you know, if you think about it, we're all flawed.
We all are.
You know?
We all have our challenges. Correct.
I love this one because I'll just say that the sun tells the time, the moon tells the day, the stars tell the month. We live inside the most beautiful clock ever made. And I just think about God creating that and how, you know, some people just think that this happened all by chance or that, you know, it's like, how can you not? When you see all that stuff and you know how the stars tell the month, and it's like, how can they predict when the next solar eclipse is going to be, you know, like years from now, because everything is just so
perfect.
It's clockwork.
It's perfect.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the gifts of, you know, really learning about just philosophy, especially within, you know, one of my paper when I was in seminary finishing this master's is really about trying to prove God, you know, especially within the light of reason and natural law and science, right? And so, you know, people, I mean, you can literally, that is such a gift. When you look at things like that, you can set aside the Bible. I mean, the Bible is who God is, but you can look at the natural law, like the apostles Paul says, and just the intentionality behind the design and everything, and say, this is the thumbprints of a creator.
Yes. Right now,
this bears the thumbprints of a creator, and you know, that's really a beautiful place to start with someone who might have, you know, zero interest in religion, and is on the agnostic or atheistic side, but you look around and you go, hold on, there's evidence everywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How can this not be?
It's also finely tuned within precision and this harmonic balance that you can't, I can understand people pushing back against the Bible, especially if you're not reading it the right way, but to push back against the design of everything, that's a tough one to grasp. And Saint Aquinas had his five ways for proving God as well. You know, through motion. Nothing is in motion that wasn't already put into motion by something else. So, you know, or there's just a multitude of ways. That's the last thing I'll say is Aristotle himself, not even a Christian figure, talked about there had to be an unmoved mover. So,
amen.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. This one says, don't just invite people to church. Invite them to lunch. Invite them to your table or patio. Invite them into your life. Be there for them. We, not our building, are the church.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
So true. So true. And this one, this is a quote from John Chrysostom around 387. If you knew how quickly people would forget about you after your death, you will not seek in your life to please anyone but God.
Wow.
Seriously.
It's kind of beautiful and depressing at the same time.
And then I'll wrap up with this one, a fun one. I can't even imagine the self-control required to work at a bubble wrap factory.
There you go. That was a nice closer after the existential bomb you just dropped on all of us.
You never know what you're going to get. It's like a box of chocolates. You just never know with Monday memes what you're going to get.
Thanks, Dave. We are so excited to have Father Mark White back with us this morning.
Good to be here.
Father Mark is the priest at St. Joseph's in Washington, Georgia, as well as Queen of Angels in Thompson.
Father White, I got a question. So let's just say I'm trying to really push back on, you know, some obligations I have as a faithful Catholic. Why should I attend Mass?
Mass on Sundays.
On Sundays.
Yeah. No, yeah. You know, I think that's something that Catholics often act as if this obligation is kind of an unjust position, imposition on their time and schedule. But, you know, a Catholic's frustration, I've always found, with this obligation really begs some deeper questions. For example, what is more important than spending an hour a week worshiping God in the way that he desires to be worshiped, you know? Or what is more important than encountering the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord of the universe, in the Eucharist and being filled with his divine life through the reception of his body and blood, you know, so that we can live the abundant life, the true life that he has for us. And remember the Eucharist, too. This is another one I think people forget. It means thanksgiving. Is it too much for us to acknowledge and thank God one time a week for an hour, who has and does give us all good things? You know, what could be more appropriate than just once a week thanking God in the way he prefers? You know, isn't that really the least we can do? Mm-hmm. You know, the Catechism of the Catholic Church says too this. It says, this is helpful, the Eucharist is the source and summit of the Christian life. And then it says a little later, for in the blessed Eucharist contained the whole spiritual good of the church, namely Christ himself, our Pasch. You know, so when we have that understanding of the Eucharist, a Catholic asking why he or she must attend Mass once a week is kind of like asking, just as a human being, why do I have to breathe? You know, well, because if you don't, you will die. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when Catholics without a grave reason or, you know, like sickness or emergency, simply kind of just choose to not bother to come to Mass, you know, makes sense that the church would say that they die spiritually, because our Lord is the Eucharist. It's not a what, but a person, and he is our life. Mm-hmm. He is our life, and this is the deepest way we can receive him in this life. So, you know, we have to breathe. We have to breathe, and that's why we need to go to Mass every Sunday.
I love how you accentuate two really important points here, I think. And one that I would like to touch on is, it's like feelings are not facts. So what do I mean by that? Well, I don't feel like working out today, so I guess I shouldn't. I mean, I guess I could make that decision, but it's going to come with a health consequence. Right. Sure. Well, I don't feel like I love my wife this morning, so I guess I shouldn't say anything.
Yeah. Right. You know, people, I think, assume that when we're Catholics that we have to have this exuberance to go to Mass. First of all, that has to inspire us to go mm-hmm. every Sunday. And then if we don't feel that, that's a kind of good excuse not to. But remember, this is still a discipline. Mm-hmm. And in this life, our feelings don't behave a lot of the time mm-hmm. in lots of different areas. We can see that all the time, whether it's diets or work or relationships. And so you don't have to feel some sense of like, I can't wait to get to Mass, you know, every Sunday. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you this, when you give your all and you still get there a little early, maybe prepare, really give yourself, I think often you'll get a consolation. At some point in Mass, and as you leave, because you've been filled with his body and blood, and you'll be like, now I know why I have to do this, at the very least. But also some peace and joy, and I'm like, I'm glad I did this. What else was I going to do? For most of us, what else are you going to do? You could have to work. You could have something serious, but it could be something, and more often than is some just meaningless or mindless entertainment, which is what we Absolutely. Do a lot of times. You know. So, and you can always make those, the fun things, richer by offering them as a part of the sacrifice for the day. You know, God does, it's not that he doesn't want you to have fun and joy, but just bring him into it. And that Mass is a way to do that.
And I hear you talking, Father. You know, my son plays soccer. My daughter plays flag football and other sports. I mean, there are many times we're at tournaments out of state or, you know, in a different city. And we're always finding the local Catholic church, you know, because when it comes to sports, I mean, why would you not want to be fed with Jesus
Absolutely.
And ready to go play the sports or the activities? Mm. And we're blessed as Catholics to have Catholic churches everywhere Absolutely. We go, whether it's out of the country or locally. So what an opportunity, as well as on vacation.
Yeah.
You know, when
yeah.
we go on vacation, do we take a break from Jesus? No. I mean, That's there are right. Catholic churches everywhere. So as Catholics, we are blessed
That's
to
right.
have locations everywhere.
Yeah, and I think you want a vacation in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. You want to play baseball.
Yeah.
Or whatever your sport is, in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. And we have to recognize that a lot of folks that are doing all this on Sunday and Saturday, there's no thought of God.
Mm-hmm.
So whether they please him or not, that's not even in their mind. But we always need to not only be a witness, but we need to do it in a way where it's pleasing. And then we learn to enjoy it that mm-hmm. way. So he's not saying, oh, you know, you go out on the baseball field and all, you're just praying Hail Marys constantly. You know, that's not going to happen with an 8-year-old or a 9-year-old, but it's something that can grow on them when they see that as, oh, I take every part of my life and offer it and sacrifice to God, and then he enables me to go out there and continue to love, even though it's just on a baseball field mm-hmm. or on a beach or whatever.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I think the other thing is, nothing done for God is done in vain. And so, especially Sunday, if we give God that 1 hour, we're going to get 23 back. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, throughout the week, that's I certainly make it a discipline to get to daily Mass. And just if it becomes part of the rhythm, if that Eucharistic rhythm becomes a part of your daily life, or at least weekly life, and you really feel that nourishment with Christ, it's almost inconceivable for me to think of life without him.
Right.
I mean, it is, truly.
Yeah, no, I think, too, you know, the idea of being honest with the Lord. You know, he doesn't want a kind of formalistic relationship mm-hmm. with us. So I'm driving to church. It's okay to say, I don't really want to go to Mass today, Lord, but I'm doing this for you. Give me the grace.
Yeah,
that I need this week. Give me the grace today. Maybe I got some stuff I got to visit some family members that never go to Mass, or maybe I've got to go to a baseball game, whatever it is, and it's not something I feel desirous of doing. We'll ask for that grace. And I think he'll often meet us in that, because he already knows mm-hmm. when we don't feel like it, mm-hmm. and he knows when we do feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, getting back to our first point. Even if you don't feel like doing it, doesn't mean you're not going to reap the results.
Yeah.
Reap the benefits, reap the blessings. And so I think that the dangerous part with a communication or a dialogue with God within the Mass or within our prayer, it's not having difficulty doing it or even being angry at Him. The danger is when I decide to discontinue the conversation. And so I think that what you're talking about is so beautiful because it's harping on the importance of just showing up and letting God meet you there.
That's right. And just showing up. That's right. And let it meet you there. And you never know what He has for you. And make it about an encounter with the Lord so that there's a relational aspect. You know, there's so many rituals in Mass. It's very easy to memorize those motions and go through them. And we can all do that. We can do it in our marriage. We can do it in our relationships. We can do it at school and work. And so it's great to really encounter the Lord. Mm.
That's a beautiful note to end on. Thank you, Father Mark White.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, it's an honor.
Father Mark White, the priest at St. Joseph's in Washington, Georgia, as well as Queen of Angels in Thompson.